back to Roma Happens podcast. Season 3 is about to start, or this is the start of it, I guess. My name's Graves, otherwise known as the guy, the raging dude. And then we have Char here joining us once again. Well, he's kind of the co-host, so it'd be weird if you didn't. And we have nobody else, because nobody else forgot that we're going to record today. So, Friday afternoon, American time, Friday almost night, I guess, European time. I got nothing better to do, so. Hi, Char.
Hi.
How you doing?
Woo, I'm about to make David Mazzaraya.
All right, so I don't know if it's spoilers anymore. I guess it is. So it's been, what, 3 weeks now since the movie
almost
came
a month
out?
Yeah, 3 weeks.
If you haven't seen the movie, go see it. I won't tell you which one it is. I don't spoil.
It starts with Borderlands.
All right. Not that one. What happened to Borderlands? What? That did not go well.
Randy Pitchford got annoying.
Yeah, you've seen it?
No, so anyway, the thing with the Borderlands movie was they announced, hey, we're making a Borderlands movie. And all the fans are like, please don't. They're like, we're doing it anyway. We told you, please don't. And they're like, we're making it live action. We told you we don't want to watch it. Well, guess what? We're going to have a star-studded cast with like Kate Blanchett and Jamie Curtis and Kevin Hart as the tallest dude in the whole video game series. It was like, we're just going to stop you right there. Don't. Please. We're begging you. Oh, and Jack Black Claptrap. All right, for fuck's sake, we hate this. So, yeah, nobody wanted it. Like, the fans didn't want it. And then they made a whole bunch of other things where they're like, we don't want it. So, yeah.
Jack Black is Black Trap? Black Clap? Yeah. Black?
Black it, clap, clap.
Black Clap. Jack Clap Trap?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Jack Black Clap Trap.
Too many four letter, one syllable fucking word. All right, cool.
Jack Trap, yeah. Black Jack.
Yeah. Black Jack? So, awesome. I was actually watching The X-Files a couple years ago, months ago, something, with my girlfriend. And then there's this episode where the dude who manipulates electricity or something, lightning, weather, whatever, he's like killing people and shit. And of course, his best friend is like a guy who's working with him. And I was like, is that young Black Jack Black? Like, there's no fucking way. No, this dude's too skinny, but like, kind of looks like him. And I was like, we were debating whether that's Jack Black until the guy goes, dude. And I was like, yeah, it's fucking Jack Black. It is like, you can recognize the it's just the way he speaks is so. I don't. How can he work his claptrap? Anyway, let's talk about Roma. We were gone for a while because, you know, the season has ended. And then we recorded an episode to, like, mark the end. And then I never published it because it was with you again after you were gone for a while. And I was like, I'm lazy. I don't care about the previous season. I started working on it, and I was like, no, the season's over. I don't care. I can't. The godforsaken horrible season has ended. We're entering into transfer period where Cristante and Pellegrini are going to leave or get replaced by better midfielders, get relegated to the bench. Neither of which happened. So, yeah.
Oh, it could happen.
I guess if we get rid of Bove. So, okay. Here's the thing, right? I hate the fact that we have no segments and no ideas what to talk about. And I was gonna, like, make a plan what we're gonna talk about for this one. And I made no such plans because there's so much. So, let's kind of just speed run through what happened this summer.
Our whole Roma versus so in a hot den state with transfer rumors, target negotiations.
Fuck. Am I the only person alive who likes that show?
Like, I liked it at the beginning, and then I realized it was a bunch of, like, dumb people trying to be smart.
Like, all right.
The writers aren't very smart. Some of the actors do have doctorates.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like, to me, the ultimate thing is, like, it's just the Simpsons writing room, because that's smart people trying to be dumb. There's so many convoluted jokes that just go over people's heads, but they are, like, absolutely hysterical.
So, what happened so far? All right. Let's take it back to May, where I started the
where you started procrastinating.
No, well, yeah, this is the famous Roma summer rumors Excel sheet, or Google Sheets, I guess, spreadsheet, with all the names we were linked with, and I was gonna be like, I'm gonna show to people that, like, Roma gets linked with like 30 names every summer. All right, let me check. Since name 100, which is Gustavo Hammer, on July 9th, we've been linked with, let me just do the math, 33 more names. We are at name 133 that Roma has been linked with as of today, with Manu Kone from, fuck, I forgot, Borussia Mönchengladbach, I think. So, yeah. 130 names. Not in my wildest dreams that thing that Roma would be linked with 130 fucking names in one summer. But here we go. Proving once and for all that all the fucking news here to read about Roma is bullshit. Shout out to Filippo Biafora. Shout out to Nicolo Schira. That's pretty much it. They're the guys reporting everything. And if you don't hear it from them, it's fake. And yeah. That said, there were a few names that Roma was apparently interested in, and it happened, such as Artem Dovbyk. And he was, like, reported to be Roma's target. Never happened. Or after Serloth. And yeah, it happened. And that's it. That's pretty much it. Enzo Lefe was like, Roma is finishing the contract with him, and he's already doing the medicals. And Sule was like, Roma is about to sign him, which wasn't really reporting of like, aha, the Roma is negotiating. It was like, it's about to happen. Then it did go on for a little while because Juventus tried to change terms and shit, but like, it doesn't count when you're already reporting something that's basically done, and even Fabrizio Romano is reporting it. So, I don't know. Let's take it from here. What do you think about so far our signings? As I quickly Google transfer marked Roma.
Our summer signings?
Yes. So we have Angelino, which is a permanent transfer now, Samuel Dal, Enzo Lefe, Matteo Sule, and Artem Dovbyk.
So I think our summer signings are pretty interesting. Matteo Sule is actually the one that is pretty, like, has caused me the most hype, because just watching him in preseason, he's just made it look effortless at finding other people with the ball. He had this awesome pass against Everton to Pellegrini to set up the goal. He assisted, I want to say, Dybala against Barnsley. And yeah, he's just been everywhere with the ball and looks really solid and just absolutely, like, wow, we absolutely got a steal here. Dovbyk, I've seen a little bit, not a whole lot, but against Everton, he just absolutely was finding ways to get through open on goal. Just wasn't able to capitalize on them, but that's okay, because it's preseason, so.
Enzo
right Lefe. Now, Enzo Lefe, I haven't really seen a whole lot. I guess there was, I forget who it was, but I guess he scored. So he, I honestly don't have any opinion on him, so I couldn't give you anything. Dahl, Samuel Dahl,
fast.
Yeah, he, I forget, I think it was Barnsley again, but they put him on in the second half and just, he absolutely closed down everything on his side and was able to just, there was everything that went to him was just a fluid counterattack. And I was like, damn, that's what the heck? The ball's now, you know, on the opposite side. We're looking threatening in the counter. Like, who started that? And you just put in like a quiet shift. But yeah, it was really interesting. A lot of people were like, who the heck is that? So nice, unknown commodity, I guess. Dobik, not really an unknown commodity. The what was it? He was the highest scoring. He won the Golden Boot for the La Liga last year, right?
Yeah. Wait, yeah. Fuck, I forgot. Is it Girona? Yeah, it is Girona.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, that's nice. I mean, I don't know. Would you have preferred Dobik or Serlo?
Who was the other option?
Serlov, the guy from VRL, Norwegian guy.
Well, we already have a Norwegian player. We don't use him very much, so no. Dovik.
Empoli, no?
Yeah, Slobakin got loaned out to Empoli, so.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes, I guess. But yeah. They're like, oh yeah, we're in for Alexander Sorloth, and people are like, oh my god, that would be a wet dream, and then that collapsed. It's like, we're, you know what, fuck it, we're just gonna get the Golden Boot winner for La Liga. Oh shit, like people
hold him from Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, I think people at that point were like, holy shit, Jafols, like, how do you say his name, the sporting director?
Guy Sophie.
Guy Sophie, yeah, it was like
Florent Guy Sophie.
Yeah, everybody's like, oh, he's serious. They're like, where do we get, like, people, the comment I saw the most over the summer is, where's Roma getting the money for the transfers? We've always had it.
We're just limited by the fucking FFP, dude. It's like, we've always had the money. Well, yeah, where's Roma getting this money from? Honor's like ditching, fucking dumping 200 million euros every single year to cover a debt. You think they don't have 50 million euros for transfers? Like, really?
Yeah. So it was, I was like, this is what they're capable of. So I'm pretty excited.
For the record, it's been 3 years. It's been a 3 year period since the Friedkins arrived, or I guess not the Friedkins, but like the FFP that took power. It's been 3 years since the FFP was imposed on us and Inter and Man United. That's why you're seeing Man United spend this summer as well. Those 3 years expired, so basically now the FFP is kind of like lax, and it's not as harsh anymore. We can just like get away with more things, especially because we follow the FFP rules. We didn't breach anything, we didn't break any deals, we didn't compromise at one, like not once. Like, we were very, very, very good. We lowered our debt, we showed that we can do it, which is not very fucking difficult. It's just like cut off some expensive players and just, you know, fuck him off. So it's, they did pretty good job, but I guess at the cost of depth of the squad, because we still have some overpaid players, and I guess we'll get to that later. So basically, before, the famous FFP used to be you cannot spend a certain amount of money, and if you do, you have to make up for it by sales. That's why we always had to sell people. Now it's no longer about money going in and money going out. It's more about the annual amortization, which I've talked about already this season, where the cost of the player's salary for that 1 year and also added to the cost of the player's like overall transfer divided by the number of the years he has in a contract. So for example, if we sign somebody for 20 million euros for 4-year contract, his salary is most likely going to be about 2 to 2.5 million. That's how it usually like is. So that's 20 million divided by 4, which is 5 million a year cost, and added, let's say, 2.5 million for his salary, that is 6.5 million annual cost. And that is how we're doing this. So, for example, Dovbik doesn't cost us 9 million, 38.5, and he paid 1.5 million by himself to his club to leave Hirona to go to Roma because he really wanted to come to Roma. Props to him. He costs us, if I remember correctly, 10 million on an annual level. 10 or like 12 million, for example. So that's something we can work with this year, especially when we're having these players for a couple of years. That is quite doable. So this new FFP that took power in 2021, I think, is, you know, pretty nice and better for teams like Roma. I think it's more fair overall. So, yeah, that is how Roma is doing these things. Of course, like, Roma needs to have money to pull this off, but at the same time, we kind of can do this. One thing I want to point out, Roma did not sign Alvaro Morata. Thank fucking God. Milan did. Never gonna happen anymore. However, Nacho, the perpetual Roma target, has gone to Saudi Arabia, I think, if I remember correctly. So we didn't sign him either. So that's two names that we will never, ever be linked with again!
Woo! Thank goodness.
Yeah, so anything else we should say about transfers, except that Dybala might leave 2 days before, or I guess 2 days before the season starts? Do you want to talk about
that? Dybala leaving? Uh-huh. Somebody put in the comments on a certain website that you frequent way more than I do. It's like, this is how the conversation went down. Saudi, we'd like to offer you some money. I don't think so. It's a considerable amount. Let me go ask my wife. Hey, baby, how do you feel about going to Saudi? I like living in Rome. It's 60 million. I'll think about it.
So the rumor is that it's 25 million plus bonuses per year. So it would be 75 million or something like that. Probably 60 to 75. So I don't know. What do you think about it?
Like, I've been over this a couple year, like, I think we did this in season one. There was a video that I saw about stepping stone players where it's like the hall of very good, just players that you want for a little bit to build up your project and then, you know, let them go. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I think that's Dybala. Like, really good, helped us get into a pretty good spot. Was really talented, is really talented at scoring goals. However, he's oftly injured. And so while I would be like really disappointed to see him go, for reasons, because I saw an interview where Sule is like, yeah, I always want to play with Dybala. Like, that's a real big dream. And I like cried because when Juve wouldn't sell me in the winter window because I wanted to go play with Dybala so bad. And now I get to, and Dybala's like, I'm out. I'm like, I feel so bad for Sule. So that's actually my real reason why I don't want Dybala to leave.
So what do you think about the massive outcry of people, Roma fans, which are mourning the death of their club because Dybala might leave?
Get a life.
Their life is Roma, dude.
Yeah, but there's more to Roma than Dybala. Somebody else on X posted a screenshot from a thing and said Dybala is the second most accomplished player ever to play for Roma. I'm going to stop you right there, Chief. That's definitely not the thing. Like,
there is no way that Dybala is the second most talented player. Obviously, you've never heard of like Batistuta or, you know, like De Rossi himself. So
what's that argument? Brian Scalabrine won an NBA title. Would you want him on your title-building team, like title-contending team? Like, no. Okay, a player won 10 times more than everyone else in Roma combined. Congrats, he played for a team. Like, I don't know. Loris Karius won Premier League. Are we going to sign him over Svilar? No. I don't know, man. I didn't like that argument. Like, just because you're part of something successful doesn't mean that you're the reason for it. Look, somebody posted a comment of a Juventus forum where a Juventus fan said it's very strange to see Roma acting like a big team. And this was a reference to rumors that Roma is pushing Dybala out. And people, of course, got up in arms about that. And like, we value loyalty in our players, whereas big teams are just assholes and arrogant. Like, yeah, but they're fans of big teams. Like, you cannot say Roma is a big team. We've never won anything in, I don't know, the last 14 years? And then we won the Conference League, which I really don't care about. Again, I'm sorry, I do not care about a tournament where Roma has higher fucking net worth, net value, whatever, than all the teams we faced combined. That's not a fucking real tournament. It's a great thing that we won the inaugural one, but like, I don't care. We won Coppa Italia in 2010. Like, okay. Juventus fans are used to winning. They know how teams win a lot operate. They, Milan fans as well, Inter fans as well, Man United fans, Barcelona, City, they can all be arrogant because they know what it takes to win. They know how titles are won. They know how to treat players. Dybala is a player that's been not only dismissed by Juventus that he played for and he was like fan favorite, but also Inter, who were like, hell yeah, are we getting Dybala? And then Inter was like, fuck no. Sorry, like, no. And it was widely rumored that Dybala is about to sign. And then somebody came out with information that Dybala was waiting for them on a meeting and Inter representatives never showed up. Yeah, they were like, fuck it, we don't want Dybala, let's just not show up. We don't care. And then Roma signed him because, well, Napoli didn't want him either, and he just had nobody else paying him the salary that he wanted. So, yeah, Dybala is our best player, and he's also scoring the most goal for us. I don't care. I don't want this type of team. I don't want this Roma. I don't want to watch this team do the same things it's been doing for so fucking long. I don't care that Dybala is your best player. Get new best players. Who's going to replace 14 goals, 10 assists? Find team, build players, build like something better than a team that depends on one player to be healthy. Who, by the way, is not. There was rumors that we're going to replace Dybala with Chiesa. That basically, instead of just using money to sign more players, we'll just go for Chiesa. And then somebody, I saw comments saying that he's more injured than Dybala is. And I actually kind of took a look at the, like a comparison of what it looks like for them. Crap, give me just 1 second. I need to open it in a new browser. Here we go. So, here is Chiesa's last couple of years since 2021. Muscle fatigue, tore ACL, missed 45 games, then missed 6 games for fitness, then knee problem, muscle fatigue, knee problem, muscle fatigue, knee problem, muscle fatigue. So, it's very, very, very consistent with Chiesa. He tore his ACL and he has had muscle problems when his probably knee that, like that he tore ACL. And he has had knee problems, which to me kind of reads like, hey, maybe we shouldn't stress you out. Let's miss a couple of games. Let's work on your fitness again so that you don't take another ACL tear. Because when you tear one ACL, it's a huge risk that you're going to tear the other in trying to recover. Here is Dybala's, like, in the same, actually, no, shorter time period, since 2022. Here's his injuries. Thigh problems, hip flexor problems, muscle fatigue, muscular problems, hamstring injury, stress reaction of the bone, adductor pain, ankle sprain, ankle problems, adductor pain, collateral ligament injury, hamstring muscle injury, thigh problems, adductor injury, muscle fatigue. It's new thing every fucking week.
Question.
Yeah.
Do you get frequent flyer miles for Trigoria? Like, if you have 10 visits, you get, like, I don't know, Cacio e Beppe?
You mean, like, the medical center?
Yeah. That we don't have anymore.
No, we switched it to...
Yeah.
What was it? Villa Stuart to Casa Paidei, I think. Hang on, let me check. Casa Paidei. Paidei. My bad.
Casa by day, medical center by night.
All right. This isn't fucking... I think it's not called Casa at all. Yeah, it's just called Paideia International Hospital. Never mind. There's no Casa in it. in Spanish. All right. I don't know. I feel like we need somebody to break in Paideia and, you know, Chiesa would be perfect for that. I don't know, man. Like, Dybala just gets injured with so many different things all the time. Like October, February, March, April, May, August, September, October, December, January, February, March. Like every month he's injured. In this past season, you know who we were missing in that final crucial stretch that was brutal against all the like big teams and tough teams? Dybala! You know who came off injured against Sevilla in the final game of the season, like in Europa League? Dybala, 65th minute. He couldn't fucking walk anymore. Like, yeah, he's there scoring goals for us, but like, I'm sorry, he's not reliable. It's fantastic that he's there scoring goals against Crotones and fucking Albirolefes of the Serie A. But like, so was Borja Mayoral. Which is ridiculous to compare, but like, he's just not performing against the best teams. And you know, it's not his problem. It's the problem of the fact that we have same bad midfield, not being able to provide for attack and not being able to cover for defense. So Dybala is kind of isolated and we're playing a game of, hey, we have Dybala, it's fine. I don't have to work. He's just going to score some bullshit goal. I don't want that. I don't want to have players on the team that are like, I'm just going to give him the ball and just stop playing. That was Lukaku and Dybala. They were just like isolated and attacking. That's it. I don't know. I've been saying that all season long, that I really hope Dybala leaves because I don't want to watch that brand of football anymore. Fantastic that he arrived. Fantastic what the Roma fans did for him, but like, I don't know. It was just so, so, so frustrating to watch Roma play like that. I don't want overpaid divas on the team, which Dybala is not a diva in that sense. He is an actual football diva. He's an actual massive accomplishment of a player. He's an insane player. Probably the most skilled we'll have in a long time. I don't care. Like, our team is not ready for that. We need to rebuild thoroughly. We need time. We need years to rebuild. And guess what? If he leaves, we're getting some money for him instead of him leaving on a free next season. Like, that's insane. Hell yeah. I don't know, dude. To me, that's just awesome. If we pull this off, that's just awesome. We get to start to rebuild. And you know what? There's no more excuses. Everyone except De Rossi gets an excuse. Nobody except De Rossi gets an excuse. De Rossi cannot get fired because he just says, I lost Dybala. But you know what? Nobody else has an excuse. Everyone has to perform and everyone has to play. If you don't play, you suck. Go away.
Well, I think De Rossi doesn't get an excuse either because it's like, hey, why did you come in six when we gave you all the transfer targets that you wanted or have been working on transfer targets? Gee, I don't know.
Like, yeah, I don't know what didn't work. I played the same midfield that we've had for 7 years now. I don't know what didn't
work. I don't know. Is Paredes in the midfield?
Paredes is going to be playing in the midfield, and I'm assuming next to Cristante and Pellegrini, and then we're going to suck for a while. And then De Rossi is going to replace them with Enzo Lefe, and he's going to start a bit, and then Pisili and Pagano might play as well. I don't know if Pisili and Pagano are midfielders. I know one of them is, so just don't hold me. I don't care. They're our youth. When I see them play, I'll know what they are. Fuck it. Nicola Pisili. Midfielder. I'm pretty sure Pagano is.
Enzo Lafi to take over Brian Cristante's place in Roma's starting lineup.
And a couple days later, there was news announced that he will take Pellegrini's place.
Okay, so that's still one half of an upgrade on our midfield then. So
I'm sorry. Pagano left to Catanzaro for a loan for a year, so. PCLE probably going to play. I don't know. I feel like our midfield depth now is a problem. We still have Brima Darbo. Wait, unless he left. Wait. Preparation. He plays for Frosinone on a loan as of a few days ago. And the Bove is leaving. He's for sale. Roma is entering the season with 4.5 midfielders.
That sounds like a really shitty sitcom.
The half is Pisili, not Cristante. You know what's funny? So a couple days ago, I was watching. Who was it? We had a transfer target, and I was watching how he was like his highlights and shit. And dude, didn't I send it to you as well? God damn it! Who was the player? Wait, I need to find it. I absolutely need to find it now. Nah, I didn't send it to you. I'll find it later, I guess. I was watching a player's highlights, and 10 seconds into the video, he carves through Roma's fucking midfield because two players challenge, and then Cristante just runs away in the middle of the pressure, and the player is like, oh shit, I can run at your goal, alright. And then, like, we concede off of that because Cristante just backpedaled under pressure. And then, next fucking day, they're showing, somebody post like a link to a video of Roma players doing training, practice, whatever. And literally Cristante is late to a challenge off of which they score. It's like 2 seconds into the fucking video. Like, really? Really? Why do I just keep seeing Cristante's fuck-ups everywhere? God damn it, the season hasn't even started yet. Yeah, that's who we are entering the season with. But I must say, actually, I'm happy. I'm so happy that I'm not the one complaining about Cristante the most nowadays. Everyone else is. I'm just kind of like laughing about it and laughing at the jokes. Shout out to Chiesa folks who recognized the truth that Cristante is not a useful midfielder who does his job properly. Fuck off. So, yeah.
I'm sorry, I heard the word Brian Cristante, knew it was going to be a rant, and immediately did something else.
So, we covered Dybala, we covered Cristante. Guissoufi. What do we think about Guissoufi? How does it look like? What does it look like to you? Does it look like promising, or is he building a team? Is he building a squad, a squadra?
Well, it was funny because he gets announced as the sporting director or whatever his title is. And the first thing I see is, yeah, he likes to go poach talent from other teams in Ligue 1. And the first thing I see is link with Enzo Lefi. I'm like, that's very French. I guess old habits die hard.
So he basically... I don't know. I don't think he's taking everything from France. There's like one player so far from France.
And yeah, it wasn't Kylian Mbappe.
I think the Friedkins would have had to sell the plane for that. I don't know. He brought the guy from the Swedish league and a guy from the Spanish league, and then
collected players from different leagues like it's the freaking Infinity Stones. What's next, El Estraca?
Oh yeah, we're bringing a guy from Saudi Arabian Premier League, apparently. And people are so pissed about that. It's like, oh no, we're getting this shitty-ass player from the Saudi League. Like, how do you know? I'm sorry, but it's a fucking right back. Who cares? Can he run fast? Yes? Fine. Great. That's the right back in a nutshell. Run fast. Whatever. But yeah... It seems like he knows what he's doing. It's very, very interesting. I'm not getting Monchi vibes from this. So it's just
well, we also didn't get Munchie vibes either when, like,
from Munchie himself.
Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness, we're signing players. We're signing players left, right, and center, and then they all just were, you know, not very good.
It's interesting that we're still signing players nowadays and negotiating because, like, again, 2 days before the season start, there was a news on a certain website that said that De Rossi demands that his squad is complete by August 3 or 4 or something like that. There's been, I don't know, dude, Roma's news and insider news about Roma is just so fucking dead wrong. Every single time they post anything, it's like, yep, that's wrong. That's a lie. That's straight up. Like, lie, just made up bullshit. It's pissing me off that people are, like, trusting in this. Like, just don't. You can read stuff for, I don't know, read it as like, fluff piece, as, like, haha, look what these idiots wrote, or, like, this is an interesting idea. Don't read news about Roma and take it seriously. It's wrong. You're making a fool of yourself. Listen to me, people. I'm the guy who predicted Jose is going to get fired. Listen to me.
Yeah. I was closer to Jose getting fired than you. Like, I have the document to prove it. I said February. Yeah, you said, like, June.
I didn't see it coming. It's going to happen in the middle of the season. But apparently it happened because Jose signed that kid, the Dutch guy, what's his name?
Huizen.
I hope that I pronounced that right, Leonard. Yeah, and he did it behind Pinto's back, and he basically did it because he wanted to do a favor to his father or something. And the Friedkins got pissed, and they were like, okay, enough is enough. Like, literally, Pinto left Roma because of that. He didn't want to deal with bullshit anymore. And I think the Friedkins were like, yep, no, that's too fucking far. So we might face Jose Mourinho in Europa League now.
That'd be funny if we, like, throttled him. But I know how it's going to go. Roma's going to shit the bed, and Jose is going to be like, zero tituli.
Except the one that he won. So, basically, Fenerbahce played against Lille, was it? That doesn't have Fonseca anymore. And they didn't get past him in the Champions League qualifiers. And guess what? Jose blamed the refs.
Yeah, I saw that.
He blamed the refs. The first public statement he made as a coach of Fenerbahce is to blame the fucking referees. God damn it, dude. Do you ever improve? Do you ever improve as a human being? My God.
Anyway, enough about former coaches and things. Let's keep moving on.
Oh, no, wait. Before we go off the topic of former coaches, shout out to Fonseca. Milan fans were furious with the signing. They were like, fuck it, we're not going for any titles again. We're so cheap. We're fucking stupid. They were bringing a nobody coach. He failed with the Roma even. Why is this coach good enough for us? Well, guess what? That was like early July. Mid-August, Milan fans are fucking happy as pig and shit. They are like, holy shit, this guy knows what he's doing. He's got a system. We are attacking a lot. We are rotating. We are using the kids. We are using all of our youth. We are using all of our promising guys. They all look fucking nice. They come in and they are like set into a system. They're like put into a fucking system that exists already, that was created by the A team, by the starters. And they just come in and show off what they got. They're amazing. Dude, fucking Milan fans are so happy with Fonseca, and it's like, yeah, sure, they're gonna have defensive struggles, but like, they brought in Pavlovic from Red Bull Salzburg, I think, who was a former Roma target, and we should have brought him and his Serbia's best defender. And yeah, they're gonna be a really, really, really good team, and I feel like they're gonna compete for the title this season. So, shout out to Fonseca.
Yeah. I miss Paolo Fonseca.
Si.
Like,
but I don't know. Sorry?
It's just, I don't know if we're going to get some of that under De Rossi or not, but like, we've been over this before in other podcast episodes. When Fonseca was coach, it was, or manager, or whatever you want to call it, it was like, all right, we're going to play and we're going to win 4-3 against Spal and just absolutely shoot the lights out of the goal, but we have no defensive line, so good luck back whoever's in the goal. So I kind of missed that.
Yeah, it wasn't really a good defensive team as well, and the goalkeeper was terrible. Like, I think it was Fonseca's the season where Paulo Lopez was taken off goal and Mirante was put on goal.
Yeah.
I think that was, yeah, like Mirante was our starting goalkeeper. Like, what are we talking about? So, there is a guy who is famous on the Chiesa di Totti website, and he's famous for being infamous, I guess. Chiesa people will understand what I'm saying. I asked him about rumors, what's happening at Roma, and he apparently has some inside information that he always says, like, take it with a grain of salt. Well, for this one, he said to take it with a massive grain of salt. It's probably not true, but this is what he heard. He says, we tried to get Dybala to consider the Saudi League offer a little while ago. He refused, and after not being able to sell Abraham, Zalewski, etc., etc., including Cristante, Roma has pushed Dybala out the door, and Dybala basically said, fine, fuck it, time is up, I'm gonna leave. And now he's kind of having, you know, second thoughts, because obviously he wanted to play at Roma with Sola and Paredes. So he says, same thing is going to happen with Paredes, I think. I think management was very underhanded to allow Paredes and Dybala to convince Sola and then cut him loose. So yeah, he again just reiterates that the person who said this to him is not always 100%. But yeah, I'm surprised with this one. So I just want to talk about that. What do you think about the way Roma does business? Does it feel like very American business corporation thing of like, yes, we have the shiny nice toy, and then like a little while later, like, God, your cost way too much money, dude.
Yeah, it's from what I've picked up from watching the transfer drama, it's definitely looked as Roma is a institution to make money. So if you're not making any money for the institution, you get let go. And I think Paredes said he wanted to go back to Boca next year. So it's like, well, I don't see why they would want to keep him around. Like, he was doing really good things with Roma last year, and I kind of wish that they would keep him around. But it kind of feels like there's a lot of, and it kind of feels like they have brought people in to be stepping stone players, and Paredes is one of them. It's players to help build a solid foundation. The foundation is set, so now we just have to let some players go. It's so like the Dybalas, you know, the Lukaku rentals or stuff like that. It's just to get somebody in the door to help some name to help get the team looking pretty strong, and then convince younger players with more talent, well, not, you know, with more talent, but, you know, young talented players to come in and play for Roma. So that's why you're looking at younger players like Dahl and Sule. Like Sule, I think, I don't know if they have like a Serie A most promising youngster award, but he was just tearing it up last year with Frosinone. I was watching every goal, every assist compilation from him last year, and he was like doing awesome things with Frosinone. So it's really exciting to have him here. But, and who else do we get? We got Baldanzi here. So like, we're working on having a bunch of young talent, young up and coming talent on cheaper wages. We're working on reducing the wage bill and having those players come in, work with some veterans, and then become the veterans and build a solid contending squad later. Like, I know you have to have some older players to be in the squad too, but like, we're building a younger squad and working on reducing that wage bill. And I feel like there are some players, not naming names, Chris Smalling, that should go. It's like your times have kind of come to an end. We want to move on in that, in your position, and go get somebody else, and you're just holding us up. So, like, it would be nice to have somebody, somebody younger in the defense, somebody to learn with from Mancini, because I feel like Mancini is more more of somebody I'd want holding down the back line than Smalling, especially because what was it? Smalling played like 4 or 5 games last year, the whole year. Like,
yeah,
thanks, mate. I'm gonna just stay here, collect a paycheck, and, you know, say I'm out due to issues like that totally could have been prevented, but it's whatever.
Well, are we a year away?
No, I wouldn't say we're a year away. I would say this is like 2019, 2020 Celtics. It's like, we have a very talented squad. Should they be able to contend? Probably. We'll see how it goes. Like, obviously injuries are important. How our schedule lines up is important. I don't know how to feel about Europa League this year. So I don't know. The Coppa Italia fixtures look pretty daunting, because if we pull, I forget who it was, we were going to get the result. I think it was Samp versus Genoa, I think was the, we get the winner of that.
Oh yeah. Possibly.
Yes, Sampdoria versus Genoa, and then if we progress in that, we get the winner of Milan versus whoever wins Lecce versus Sassuolo. So that's going to be, yeah. And then say for some miraculous whatever in the in the round of 16, you have, on the bottom half of the bracket, it's Napoli and Palermo, and the winner of that goes against Lazio, and Udinese Salernitana going against Inter. So whoever, like, say we beat Milan somehow, we're going against the winner of, like, probably it's going to be Inter. So not happening. Meanwhile, on the other side of the bracket, it's Cagliari versus Cremonese, so, you know, we would have been screwed and got stuck with Cremonese and lost to them again. But Juventus gets the winner of that. Fiorentina's over there, Bologna and Atalanta. So, like, to me, that just seems like a way easier side of the bracket. But, like, Coppa Italia, I feel, is just going to be an easy, is not really like an easy exit. I just feel like it's going to be a quick exit. So,
what do you think, based off to how the season ended? I think we talked about it before. We must have, or maybe you weren't there for that, but Leonard and I talked about it, that Roma under De Rossi in the last couple of months, like April, May, started to look a lot like that Jose squad, where we're just kind of clueless, and midfield is always overrun and always the weak point. And basically that we cannot attack, that Dybala and Lukaku are just kind of useless and standing there and nobody's helping them. Defense is very, very uncoordinated. We kind of looked similar, I guess. Not really similar, but it wasn't really difficult for teams to establish control over us and have opportunities to score. But we did score a couple or a bunch of goals on pure talent. So how do you feel like going into this season? Do you think there's going to be some summer magic that De Rossi worked on? That, like, is he coming or cooking something up? Or are we going to look exactly the same? Does De Rossi get fired by November, as people are saying? Like, what do you think? What's your expectations going into this season?
They're very cautious. My honeymoon period with De Rossi kind of ended, because at the end of the season last year. I wasn't following it very closely, but it felt like the run of games just, it was more of like we were eking out draws than losses, and no wins either. So it seemed very frustrating. Like, I don't know. I'm not really sold because, like, at the beginning when DeRossi was appointed, we were doing some really good, like, hey, we're actually kicking ass. Like, we're going toe-to-toe with Inter. And then towards the end of the season, I forget who it was, but it was somebody who we should have beat pretty handily. And we're like, we're struggling with them for 90 minutes. We should have put them away. Like, what's going on? So
what are you expecting going into the season? What's your, like, give me one concise sentence about what you want to, what you expect to see from this Roma, with or without Dybala. It's probably leaving as well, so.
I expect Roma to finish eighth.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yep, seriously.
Okay.
The talent's there. I just, like I said, he started off really strong last year, didn't end so strong, so I'm not super, super convinced until proven otherwise. And I'll happily eat my words, and I'm not going to be like, oh, I always been on the hype train, you know, like ride or die with Roma, but eighth.
Okay. Interesting. I was expecting you to say we're going to finish fourth. I'm going to say that we're going to finish fourth.
I'm never going to say we're going to finish. And, like, since I've been following Roma, it's that when I, like, really started religiously following Roma, that was the last time we were in the Champions League. So it's my fault. So I'm not going with fourth.
I'm going to say we finish fourth in case that we sign one or two more midfielders in the next couple of days until the transfer period's over. If we don't, it's probably a sixth once again. It's just, I'm not being a doomer. It's just 6 years of finishing sixth. On average, mind you, we've finished fifth in one season and seventh the next. It's just like, I'm sorry, that's our midfield is cause of problems. As we have, like, look, this is my short rant. I won't name names. We went into this fucking summer saying we need to fix midfield. There is no other problems. I don't care if my dead dog plays right back and if my zombified grandma plays left back. It doesn't fucking matter. Like, it really doesn't matter because we have a problem with the midfield. When a player is standing on a flank, he has nobody to pass the ball to because the midfielders are hiding behind the opponents. They're not open. They're not ready to receive the ball. They're not doing anything. The midfielders are not shielding the defense. The midfielders are not participating in attack. They're not doing anything. Paredes is our best midfielder by far. And he cannot read a passing lane to save his fucking life. He's a terrible, terrible midfielder when it comes to positioning himself. He does make up for it with, like, some savvy and some reading and some positioning and experience. And he has intent, like, he can play on a Champions League team. Like, he's not a terrible player. He's pretty good. But he is not enough alone. Like, I'm sorry, Paredes is not the level of Nemanja Matic. He's not the level of Hendrik Mkhitaryan. He's not the level of Sanchez, who was kind of doo-doo for us, but, you know, circumstances. And Wijnaldum, again, circumstances. But, like, he's not that level of players. And he's still by far our best midfielder. So we had one issue, one job to fix this summer. I am not sure that Enzo Lefebvre alone is able to fix our problems. I really don't think so. If you tell me that Enzo Lefebvre is statistically one of the best, like, top three midfielders in French League last year, fantastic. I'll wait till I see it. He, like what you said, you don't know what he does. Enzo Lefebvre takes the ball anywhere on the pitch, and then he turns forward with the ball. And then he either runs forward with the ball, or he passes the ball forward. I was like, is this fucking happening? Do we have a guy who does this now? Is he... what is happening? Best midfielder of all time, because he can do this one thing. I don't think he's enough. I really don't think he's enough, because you're always going to have Paredes, Enzo Lefebvre, plus one. Or you're going to have the two that we always talk about, and one of Paredes and Lefebvre. So there's always at least one liability in our midfield, which we know what exactly it looks like. We know what it leads to. And guess what? In the friendlies, and in the last season as well, whatever Cristante and Pellegrini leave the... Fuck, I said the names. Whatever they leave the pitch together, and we don't have, we have like replacements, I don't know, Baldanzi, Dybala, fucking Bove, Paredes, whoever plays midfield, when they two are off, we look so much better. Against Everton, the moment they came off, we looked so much better. We immediately started attacking, going forward, fighting for the ball. The Roma looked transformed. Unfortunately, that is not going to be the case. I don't know how long it lasts. I'm not sure. So if we get more midfielders this season or this summer period transfer market, which is 2 weeks left, we are probably going to finish fourth. I feel like we can, because that way you can kind of manage it. You can make identity something different. Right now, our identity lies with our two liabilities. So yeah, we went into the summer knowing that we need to fix midfield, and we did not fix midfield. We fixed everything else. But I don't know. It's difficult. And that's why I said, are we a year away? Because I feel like we are a year away from being able to compete. I feel next summer, midfield is going to be destroyed. Like, we're not going to see Paredes or Cristante or Pellegrini for Roma anymore. And we're going to see new players. And we're going to see better strikers. At least backup strikers. Because right now, we don't have any. And yeah. I don't know. I feel unfortunate that there is just no good teams in Italy anymore. There is Atalanta is kind of bleh, and Juventus, Inter, Milan are good. Lazio bad, Napoli bad, Bologna is going to be bad as well. I just think Roma finishes fourth.
Bologna is going to be horrible. Holy shit!
Like, shout out to Joshua Zirkzee, who scored the first United goal 2 minutes ago.
Nice.
Yeah, like 89th minute or something for United. To take a lead over Fulham. Yeah. Bologna is going to be in a weird position. Although, I don't know. We'll see. They still have some good players.
All right. Well, I feel like it's probably close to that time where we go and predict what you think is going to happen for Cagliari.
Relegation?
No, Roma Cagliari.
Oh,
on Sunday.
A draw. I put a draw in your prediction thingy. So
I like how nobody else did it except some people.
Nobody except a couple of people.
Yeah, it's gonna be like you versus me versus mangoes. Like even the usual suspects. Like, nope, I'm a head out.
Dude, it's like, we just saw this team play their kind of not really best, but up to their capacities against Everton. I'm sorry, that's not very convincing. And you'll say it's preseason. Okay, but why didn't they show more in the preseason? Shouldn't they be more rested and better and, you know, hungry for football? They didn't play for 2 months.
Yeah, that's why I feel like it's going to finish eighth. Drawing to Olympiacos and then drawing to Everton.
Ugh.
It's like, So,
I mean,
anyway.
Olympiacos aren't terrible, but Jesus Christ.
Who was up with scheduling that? Like, I'm pretty sure we're twinned with Panathinaikos, so going up against one of their direct rivals in a friendly is probably not a good idea. Also, yeah. I think the other one was we were supposed to play like Toulouse or something like that somewhere else, and they had to change the venue because I guess Napoli ultras were going to be in the area also. So,
oh my god, we lost to Toulouse. I forgot about that. Holy shit.
2 years in a row, baby.
Oh boy. All right. Yeah, possession 60-40-0-1.
Yep.
Same old Roma. I mean, we still played with like bad, not bad players, but like kids, I guess. But even when the main guys came on, it was. Oh, so before we close, there's two things I want to mention, and then I'll mention second. I'll mention the first one in second. What are your impressions of the fucking Olympic Games?
I didn't watch them, so I don't care.
Nothing, nothing that impressed you or anything? No, nothing you want to bring up?
No.
Well, I just want to say shout out to LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Kevin Durant. Please fuck off already. Go retire before fucking LA 28 so we can actually take a fucking gold medal. Fuck yourselves. Leave. Stop playing international basketball. Jesus fucking Christ. We almost had him. We led the whole fucking game until Steph Curry was like, yeah, I'm just gonna put lights out. Sorry. Yeah, no. Taking lights out. Taking souls of Serbian people. But whatever. We won bronze. Big shout out to Buba Sangare, our new 17-year-old right back who literally just turned 17 a couple days ago. Fucking huge shout out. I feel like he's gonna be starting for us come February. Like, dude is so good. So goddamn good.
Okay, it's just like, they're like, oh yeah, he's going to the Primavera. And then I saw an article that Buba Sangare is gonna stay in the first team. I'm like, hehe.
He moves really well. Like, he has absolutely no issues dribbling. He's not afraid of anybody. He takes the ball, does the correct things with the ball. He passes when he should pass. He runs with it when he should run. He dribbles when he should dribble. He backpasses when he absolutely should backpass. Like, that kid is so good. So damn good. But yeah, he and Sula are going to be an amazing right flank. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So what do you think is going to happen with the Cagliari game?
I think it's going to be Roma 1, Cagliari 0.
And with that, we're opening another pessimistic, depressed season of Roma and the
depression is drama in the first place.
I started this podcast to whine about Jose Mourinho and whatever, man.
Yeah.
Promising things ahead, but you know, there is promise in this season as long as you have zero expectations for any results. If you're looking for like players to do good things and you know, seeing them develop and shit for the future, then yeah, you're gonna enjoy the season. But if you expect to finish eighth, again, you're gonna enjoy the season because there might be some pleasant surprises. If you're stressing out about the Champions League, you're gonna have a bad year. Shout out to Channing Tatum. Bye.
Woo, I'm gonna put the outro right here. Desperation of a soldier, my lyric told ya. Feel my heartbeat even colder. Fighting for my rights and dogging alleys like guerrilla warfare. Now I plan assassinations because the Western nation keeps us in ghettos like an urban reservation. I'll attack your red dawn, no time remaining on point. Military missionaries, how I vary. My mind is scary, preparations from crime. One time, feel me rain, so feel me rain. Black rain, black rain, Citizen Kane. Talking black rain, black rain, black rain. Peace to in the game, black rain, black rain. Through the struggles and the strain, black rain, black rain. Elements of mind, so feel the rain from behind, black rain, black rain. Peace to in the game, black rain, black rain. Through the struggles and the strain, black rain, black rain. Elements of mind.